Right now, though, we check in with Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch for our weekly City Hall update. Hi, Mayor.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you this morning?
Those poor commuters coming up from the South Shore, coming through our city, have to wait when that bridge is open, huh?
Yeah. I can feel the empathy in your voice for them.
Oh, well.
It is much more reliable now than it has been in the past, that's for sure.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
How is the city doing during the pandemic?
Well, obviously the numbers have creeped up. We're concerned, but doing everything we possibly can, including continuing to get the word out to folks that this is real. We need to pay attention.
Well, I heard the governor say yesterday that, cases skyrocketed after Thanksgiving, as was expected. Now it's having an impact on elective procedures in hospitals.
Right.
Are the urgent care centers here in the city, do you know, are seeing that? Do you have communication with them?
I do. In fact, I was talking to Rich Fernandez, who's the president of VA Milton, and the new place opened up just recently in Hannon Parkway, maybe a month or more ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me they're doing pretty robust business, and it's mostly testing for the COVID.
Right, yes. Have you yourself been tested, Mayor?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah, I have as well. It's a very not invasive process. I encourage folks to take advantage of it if they can.
Agreed, yeah. Yep.
And, especially with the holidays coming up, I know there's concern here in the city. Are there any plans to do any more restrictions at all?
Not yet. We're watching it closely. We certainly, it's a tough balance, People trying to earn a living, trying to, get by at this point with many restaurants and small businesses. So you hate to see further restrictions on them. It could put them out of business permanently. So it's a tough one. It really is.
Sure.
One of the good things is, we've learned tremendously from this, and we know who's susceptible, right? So, in the spring we saw, I think we have about 138 deaths in Quincy. Most of them were in the early part of this disease when nobody knew much about it, and it was unfortunately many of the elderly. So we're seeing more sickness, but we're not seeing the fatalities that we saw before, thankfully.
Yes.
But still, it's serious stuff, and we got to continue to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Or do you work with the governor at all in vaccine distribution, how that will happen here in the city?
Ruth Jones is obviously in contact with the state DPH, mm-hmm. and she'll continue to be him. We haven't gotten into that kind of detail yet, though.
Okay, sure. The City Council, as you know, is honoring what they're calling COVID-19 heroes at the opening of their meetings. Last night it was Interfaith Social Services, one of the many organizations that's really stepping up during this time.
Yeah, excuse me. Rick Doan and his team do a great job there year-round. They really do. But in light of what's going on, they've really stepped it up. And we work well with them. They've been one of the agents we assisted, the agencies, I should say, with some of the COVID monies that we raised for the Quincy Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad we were able to help out a number of organizations like them who are there every day for people in need. So we're grateful to his team.
Is that fund still accepting donations?
Of course,
okay.
Absolutely. But we've distributed most of what we raised. We did a summertime distribution, and then we did a recent distribution about 2 weeks ago because mm-hmm. This time of year is when they really hit the crunch. So,
great. Mayor, can we talk a little bit about some good news, I think, the purchase of two parcels here in the city for preservation?
Yes, I'm grateful to the City Council. I know that Council Kane was very interested in the Harriet Ab site over in Montclair near the golf course and the marshes. And Ward 5 Councilor Chuck Fanlon was very interested in the future of the Beachcomber site. And in light of some of the challenges we have in that area with flooding, we have pump stations in that area. It probably made some sense to take that one because of the additional burden that would have created for that neighborhood if it were to be developed. Originally, we were looking at, a restaurant going back there. But once it got beyond that, looking at far more than what we think the site could handle. In fact, the state rejected that plan on the engineering aspects of it several months ago. So, I know that sometimes we get criticized for maybe we're aggressive on development. But, you know, most of the development is happening where it should be, along the tracks, along the spine of the city. Here we have an opportunity to offset some of that with some making a couple of places permanently open space in perpetuity. And, you know, these are two fine candidates for that. And I think they'll certainly serve the neighborhoods they both fall in. So there was a lot of public support. I know Councilor Kane received dozens of calls and requests about Harriet Ave. We worked together on it. Same thing on the Beachcomber. I think there's a lot of nostalgia with the Beachcomber. People that used to go there don't think so much about the open space piece. But when you start adding up some of the challenges we're facing with, you know, sea level rising and some of the flooding we've experienced over the years, and the Beachcomber probably makes some sense in that light. So both good ones, I think. They're both solid, and I appreciate the council support on it.
The request was for $5 million. The ultimate approval was $4.15 million. What was the difference?
Well, I know that when we do the acquisition, we'd like to put some money in there for example, demolition of the old building on the site, mm-hmm. of the Beachcomber. There may be grading needed. There may be clean out, maybe some planting, some trees and vegetation. So we try to include some monies on that, but, you know, we'll regroup on that later. The important part is they get tied up and protected.
Okay. And that's from the community preservation account?
That's correct, which I think is one of the uses for it, that it was set up statutorily for the acquisition of open space. So that's it's a good use for it. And that's the money people pay for that the citizens voted a number of years ago to put basically on your bill. There's a little number there that's calculated based on your numbers, and it comes into the city, and then the state augments that with some state monies, although that money's been drying up from the state level, but it allows us to do a lot of extra things like these acquisitions.
Yeah, I remember when it was a one-to-one match, which was phenomenal. Those days are gone.
Yeah, you couldn't beat it.
Unfortunately, yeah. Speaking of taxes, Mayor, can we talk a little bit about your approach to setting the tax rate for the fiscal year and how that worked?
Sure. Well, we talked about trying to keep this year as level as we could, recognizing that we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, which has financial implications for a lot of families. So I'm trying to keep that number as low as we possibly could. And it was a perfect storm going the other direction, actually. You know, the revenue shortfalls, the shifting in values because the commercial values are stagnant. The residential values pick up more of the levy, which automatically trips an increase in the average tax bill without even raising any more revenue. So a combination of factors. We obviously are grateful the state didn't cut the local aid, but they were scheduled to increase local aid as they do each year. So when you add everything up, it was a tough year. So having committed to try to keep it low, we're using some surplus monies of free cash from last year. We're dipping into reserve. We're dipping into OPEB. We did a mid-year cut with a number of departments that will be, as of last night, we're cut. That's around $2.7 million, I think, in total there. Mm-hmm. Free cash is over $4 million. The stabilization is over $4 million. We're basically buying down the rate this year to help people get through and get by this period of time. So, again, I appreciate the hard work of my department heads and employees, the city council, and their work last night. It's never pretty, this process. It is nice to know that we've gone up as far as communities around us. We had the lowest increase than those communities that have bought us, Braintree, Weymouth, and Milton, are all gone up higher than Quincy. So I know people don't necessarily compare their bills to other communities. It's kind of fairly relative to what they paid last year to what they're paying this year. So I think it's a good compromise to try to meet a zero increase. It's a minimal increase in the scheme of things, and to keep all the services going that the people of the city expect and deserve.
It's about, as I understand, about $150 on the average residential tax bill.
That's correct, yep.
And I know you sounded the alarm about this with me several weeks ago, that the goal to keep it level would just not be possible.
The shortfalls were just piling up.
Right.
You know? And, you know, 0.5% on collecting property tax goes into the millions of dollars. So, you know, when you have, you know, it's understandably when people are starting to hurt and fall behind on their bills. And, you know, obviously the hotel tax is way down. Mm-hmm. The meals tax was down. So you add up your local receipts, the building permits, prepared with down, although they're starting to bounce back nicely. So all the factors there, and then the shift in the burden on the levy was kind of the final nail. So we needed to make some major mid-year adjustments and try to meet our commitments, and we've done that. So hope, keep our fingers crossed that the economy, you know, certainly bounces back as the pandemic, hopefully by the springtime, gets under control.
Yes. Interestingly, according to the Registry of Deeds, property values, though, continue to increase.
Yes, they do, and that's part of the problem. When you have the increase in values on the residential side and you have the stable, well, it's stagnant or decrease on the commercial side, mm-hmm. that again shifts the burden just on value, so the bills go up automatically. That's how Prop 2.5 works and how the values, you know, get applied. So that's a factor that people don't like to understand. I do know that when you're selling your house, you understand it and appreciate it because mm-hmm. your investment has gone up incredibly well. But, you know, most people, if they're not in the market selling the house, they're just trying to keep things going and pay the bills. So, you know, it's tough, but that's how it works. That's one of the factors.
And, yeah.
It's tough to explain in this crazy economy why these single-family homes are still bouncing so high in their values. I think that, you know, the cities continues to be a place people want to live. I think we have, you know, our location to Boston, to the ocean, to the Cape, to the New Hampshire area. I mean, it's very, very convenient to live here. And then you add on top of it what we talk about all the time, and that's, it's a safe city. Education system is phenomenal. Park system is incredible. You get nice library services, senior services, veteran services. I mean, no matter what box you go to check off, we meet or exceed, I think, the expectations of the public and services. So, you know, so we're a place that people want to be, and I guess that's a good thing, but it makes it difficult for those breaking into the market today.
I understand the utilization of free cash and stabilization, but could you explain the budget cuts that were made and how that will work?
Sure. So I met with the department heads a few weeks back, mm-hmm. and I asked each of them to tighten their belts and see where we could squeeze some money out during the course of this year. Which is hard to do halfway through the year.
Right.
But having said that, they all understand the importance of what we're going through right now, and they all came up with, well, most of them came up with cuts to some small departments that just don't have any room to do that. But some of the bigger departments, you know, there's ways to do it. You know, you have a unfilled position, or maybe overtime was down in certain areas, or we charged some of the overtime to COVID that was up, so therefore it was a little break in or breakage, I should say, in some of the OT lines. So basically, and then old purchase orders that perhaps we don't need to do a certain thing or order a certain item right now that can wait. Okay. Those kinds of decisions were made individually at each department level.
I see. Okay.
We came up with the total, and that helped us to get where we're at.
Okay, so it was up to the department heads to figure out those cuts on their end.
That's correct.
Very good. We talk about a food drive and a toy drive happening here in Quincy, Mayor.
Well, you have the times and dates. You want to rattle them off for us, Joe?
Be happy to. The food drive is going on through this Saturday at the Fire headquarters on Quincy Ave, as well as the Housneck, North Quincy, Squantum, and Fire stations. So those donations will stay right here in Quincy. Is that right?
That's correct. This local 792 and Chief Jackson reached out to us asking when this year is difficult and we get the firehouses spread out throughout the city, it might be a good idea to use them as a drop-off location. And yes, any and all non-perishables we receive will be distributed locally to the food pantries.
That's great. And as we heard from Rick Doan at Interfaith last night, they certainly have seen an increase, so they need them for sure.
Absolutely.
So something else that's interesting, folks, if they have pet food that they could donate, that is a need that's kind of understated, but pet food's just as expensive, if not more so, from people food sometimes, and you know, folks love their pets, certainly.
They sure do these days. I'll leave it at that.
And toys, Mayor?
Toys, I think that's with South Shore Building Trades.
Yes, this coming
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, they had reached out to us a few weeks ago and wanted to do something on behalf of their members, and so there's a number of union folks that live in Quincy. Mm-hmm. Associated building trades includes, you know, the electricians, the carpenters, the plumbers, the painters, you know, the pipe fitters, you name it, all those union guys who live here. You know, this is what something they wanted to do. So same thing. So we're going to be taking whatever we receive from that will be distributed to Salvation Army and others who are in need of their assistance this year. I mean, Salvation Army's off this year, too, because of the whole restriction on the kettles.
That's right, yeah.
So they need some help. So this is a way to help them with the toy drive.
Okay.
So we thank Barb Rizzi and the team at the Socio Building Trades for their thoughtfulness through these difficult times as well.
That will be this Saturday from 9 to 1 up at Pageant Field in a socially distanced manner, of course.
Of course.
Thanks so much, Mayor. Good to talk to you.
Same here. Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.